Good morning. Grace and peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be with you. In case you haven't noticed, we're going to make a concerted effort to start this service on time. I know a lot of times that 8:29 bus doesn't show up till 8:35, but we're going to go ahead and try to get started at 8:30 to help those that are tuning in online and sort of get us back in routine of getting the church started on time. I'd like to remind you, when you came in this morning, you should have found an attendance pad at the end of your pew. Please take that and give us a record of your attendance. We really appreciate it. I have a number of things going on in the life of the church this week. The bulletin is chock full of information. I'm going to try to bring a few of those out to your attention. If I forget something, please just throw something at me. We'll make sure we get it on the webcast. First off, a big thank you to all the people that showed up yesterday for the Keep America Beautiful campaign as we clean up our section of Piney Woods Road down by Costco. It was a cold night and things were a little wet from the day before, but I think we got our area pretty well policed, and we look forward to doing it again. And I think that's a quarterly effort. We'll be picking it up next quarter. Game night at the Parsonage. We told you about this last week. Join the pastor's family at the Parsonage for game night on Saturday, February 15th. That's the Saturday coming up this Saturday. All are invited. If you have some games you'd like to play, some group games, go ahead and bring those. The pastor has some games all the way from his youngest son up, I guess, all the way through adults, and they have games that I think everybody would like to play. If you have some of your favorites, go ahead and bring those. But it's, again, just a community time at the Parsonage next Saturday, beginning at 5 o'clock, going from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. In the narthex, there are some flyers for Restored. This is something that our Bill Walker brought to our attention. On February 29th, there'll be an event at Mount Orb United Methodist in Lexington for all men at Grace. You do not have to belong to United Methodist men. Anybody, any of the males are welcome to come. This is a spiritual retreat for the United Methodist men, but obviously you don't have to be a member of the United Methodist men to attend those meetings. So if you have any questions, there is a brochure on the table in the narthex, and all men are invited to this. Also, if you haven't been attending Sunday school, the Lost Sunday School class is beginning a new book. I think they started last week. Short Stories by Jesus, by an author that we used in a Bible study earlier this year. I would encourage you to, if you're not attending Sunday school, this is a good chance to sort of get in on the ground floor and pick up where everybody else is and go ahead and get started in a good habit of attending Sunday school. Also, next week at 9:30, the youth class, and that youth class spans a lot of years right now. I think it's going from 12 all the way to 24. They are going to be cooking pancakes and waffles for us at 9:30 next Saturday morning. So again, if you have not been attending Sunday school, this is a good time for some fellowship and to head on from that breakfast into a Sunday school class and just plan on coming for that. They're looking for a big crowd. And lastly, a personal note, a big thank you to everybody that participated with the Super Bowl food collection last week. We collected, we originally asked each household to give a dollar. We must have had a lot more people here than were actually physically here, because we collected $385 that went to Super Bowl, and we collected a lot of foodstuffs. We loaded those up in my car, and I delivered those last Thursday, and sharing God's love was very appreciative of all of our efforts, and we actually got a certificate back from Super Bowl thanking us for all the things we've done. So, again, Grace lived up to its name and supported this ministry, and we really appreciate it. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning? Are we celebrating any birthdays this week? Any anniversary? Oh, Billy. Okay. Bob Adams' birthday will be tomorrow. Anyone else? Any anniversaries? Well, welcome back, everyone. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship.
Please turn and join with me in our call to worship this morning as printed in your bulletin. Is not this the fast that I choose? If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 569. We've a story to tell to the nations.
This time we invite the children to come down front and join me for a children's sermon. Come on down. Y'all all know me. I need y'all's help. Let's go. What's happening here? There we go. Got two. All right. So, good morning. Thanks for back there. These two up here, I've seen them already. I know they're awake. I've got something here that came from my house, and I think that at least one of you knows what it is. What is this? This is a flashlight. Believe it or not, this flashlight is on right now. I put it in the on position before I came up here, but is there any light coming out of it? No? I wonder what, you know what we're supposed to do with it, don't you? Do you know what we're supposed to do with it? What do you think? You don't know? You don't know? Let me show you. Yeah, it's got a little handle on it, and you have to crank it, and you have to get it going. Oh, there it goes. And if you stop cranking it, the light goes off. It's an emergency flashlight is the way they marketed it, at least. But that feels like a lot of work for an emergency doing like this to get light to come out. But I brought this flashlight instead of another flashlight because in our scripture today, Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. And in Jesus' day, light came from two places. It either came from the sun or it came from fire. A lamp or a candle. They didn't have batteries. They didn't have overhead electrical lights like we've got. It came from one of those two places. And if you were going to have light that came from fire or came from a candle or came from a lamp, it took work to keep it going. You had to work to make sure the light didn't go out. And so if we're going to be light like Jesus talks about, we got to remember that we got to do some work to keep our light shining. So sometimes we've got to do some work to keep our light shining so that other people can see it and so that we can show other people who Jesus is. Because that's what he meant when he was telling us we're the light of the world. We're supposed to be showing other people about God and God's kingdom. And so we have to do some work sometimes. We've got to come to worship like we've done today. We've got to tell other people about Jesus like we do sometimes at school and out when we're playing and seeing other people. And we've got to read scripture and we've got to sing songs and sing loud so that other people see Jesus in us because we're the light. You think y'all can do that? Oh, I know you can. Can you pray with me? Let's pray, okay? Can you put your hands together and bow your head? All right, and let's pray. Dear God, thank you for making us the light of the world, for helping us to show your love and your grace to everyone we meet by the light, your light that shines through us. Amen. Amen. All right, you can head back to your seat. This morning as we go to God in prayer, first want to ask if there are any unspoken prayer requests that you all have for us this day, if you could raise your hands. Thank you. Prepare to offer spoken prayer requests, we want to keep Jim McDaniel and Jane in our prayers, as Jim did have surgery this past week. Is back home recovering now, and thank Rich and Yvette for checking on them and providing an update earlier. Has anybody else talked with Jim or Jane recently? I haven't got them on the phone yet, so. Oh, good. Therapy is happening, so we're grateful for all that. We also want to keep Carolyn and Phil Gwynn in our prayers, and we hope to be able to see them. We know they've been sick recently, as well as George and Helena, who are traveling, and asked for our traveling mercy prayers for them as they've gone to Florida for the next couple of weeks. So we offer prayers on their behalf today as well. Are there other spoken prayer requests you all would offer today? Oh, yeah. That's Billy's cousin and all her family and the passing of her cousin and then her college roommate's father, who was an influential pastor in Kershaw. Passed away as well. Yes. A great witness to our mission. So Kitty was helping somebody in the grocery store parking lot, and he just said, well, can I pray with you? And they had a moment together to share in God's presence and in the grace of God. And so that's
Praise God for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're glad to have our family here, the Powells, and Lolly's mom's birthday, and so we're glad to have them with us. Yeah. Excellent. There we go. Yes. That's right. Praise God. Others this morning? Seeing none, let's go to God in prayer. Sisters and brothers, let us lift our hearts in faith to the one who hears all prayers and holds close all those in need, including those we've lifted this morning. Holy God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring healing to all wounds. Make whole all that is broken. Speak truth to all illusion and shed light in every darkness, that all creation will see your glory and know your Christ. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 405, Seek Ye First. Please remain standing for our gospel lesson.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 21 from the New Revised Standard Version. Salt and light. You're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Law and the Prophets. Do not think that I've come to abolish the Law or the Prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Concerning anger. You've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So we're still in Jesus's sermon. Jesus's Sermon on the Mount continues as our scripture selection today. And we talked last week about the fact that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is the most dangerous and world-overturning, world-upending, transforming sermon that's ever been preached. And so there's a little bit of fear and trepidation on my part for trying to get up here and reinterpret what Jesus has already done for us, because this is Jesus' sermon, and what we need to do is figure out how we hear Jesus' sermon on its own terms, how we can hear Jesus preaching to us through this sermon as we pick up after the Beatitudes have finished. We heard what Jesus thought about what it meant to be blessed last week, and how that is radically different from how we normally think about being blessed. And in this week's passage, as Jesus begins to transition in his sermon to tell us something new, to shift and expand on his teaching from what it means to be blessed, we hear a part that where Jesus tells us why he has come. And not only does he tell us why he has come, he uses an I statement, which, as I'm reading through scripture, makes my ears perk up. Jesus tells us, "I have come." And normally what we get in the Gospels, or oftentimes what we get in the Gospels, is Jesus uses a kind of third person, almost code, to describe his mission and purpose. He'll say something like, "The Son of Man has come," or "The human one has come." He doesn't often say, "I have come." And so in this passage, we have that. We have where Jesus just flat out says, "I have come to do this thing." And so we got to perk up, and we got to pay attention to this piece, because what he says is, he says, "I have come not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets." I've come not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. Now, here we have Jesus teaching. He's preaching his sermon, his interpretation of Scripture, his understanding of Scripture. Not so much an interpretation, but this is what Jesus knows to be true about Scripture. And for Jesus, all of Scripture was the law and the prophets. When he says law and prophets, he means all of Scripture. The law was the Torah, the first five books of Scripture, and the prophets were the history and the prophetic works and everything else that's there in what we call the Old Testament. Jesus is telling us, "I haven't come to abolish Scripture. I haven't come to wipe away any of those things that are Scripture. I've come to fulfill them." This is what Jesus says he's come to do, and he makes no bones about it. "I have come." Not "the Son of Man has come," not "the human one has come," not any of those other ways he describes himself. "I have come." He's telling us that his sermon, the Beatitudes that came before this and everything that comes after it, all of it isn't to abolish the law. It doesn't wipe away the law and the prophets, the Scripture that's come before, but it is part of fulfilling it. So we've got to figure out what it means to fulfill Scripture, for Jesus to be fulfilling Scripture, the law and the prophets. And to understand what that means, we have to understand the purpose of Torah and the prophets, of the law and the prophets, of Scripture. Why did God give the law? Why did God send the prophets and record this Scripture? Why did they put these things down on paper for the people of God? You see, the purpose of the law, the purpose of the prophets, was to help the people of God fulfill their end of their covenants with God. The people of God and God had made covenants throughout time, throughout their history with one another. They'd been making covenants together. And so as things progressed, as these covenants played out, God realized some things over and over again, and that was that God's people weren't very good at keeping their end of the bargain. Covenant is a promise. God's going to do this, we're going to do this. Turns out we're not very good at doing what we're supposed to do. And so God sent the law and the prophets to give us encouragement and to give us instruction about how we can keep up our end of the bargain. Because God is always faithful. God's keeping up God's end over and over again. God is always doing what God said God was going to do. Sometimes it's not pretty in the Old Testament, because when we don't live up to our end, God has told us there's going to be some consequences. So, we have the law and the prophets in order to help the people of God fulfill their end of their covenants with God. And we've got a few covenants that happen throughout the course of the law and the prophets. We have a Davidic covenant, right? This is the covenant that's made with David, that from David will come the Messiah, that the kingly priesthood of Israel's leadership will always flow through David's line. That's the Davidic covenant, right? That the spiritual and political leadership of Israel will be by an anointed and righteous and faithful leader that comes from David's line. David is the anointed, that first anointed one in his line. And God's promise to David and to the people of God is that from David will always be the promise of an anointed spiritual political leader. Before that, we had the Mosaic covenant. It's the covenant with Moses, right? And that covenant is where we get the law. Moses goes up the mountain, comes back with the tablets. He gives the law to the people, right? And the purpose of these laws was so that the people could live as the set-apart people of God in the midst of the nations of the world in the promised land as a witness to the one true God. It's the promise of Moses and the law. That's the covenant that God made with them, that if they would follow these laws that God was giving, that they would be able to live as the set-apart people of God in the midst of all of these nations in this promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey. And even before that, we have the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant with Abraham and his descendants. And this one undergirds all of the rest, and they all build upon each other, because in the Abrahamic covenant, we hear God promise Abraham, I will give you children if you'll follow me, and you will be blessed to be a blessing. Your descendants will be like the sand on the shore or the stars in the sky, and they will be blessed to be a blessing to the nations. That's the promise of the covenant. If you'll follow me, you and your descendants will be blessed to be a blessing to the nations. So Jesus' explanation that he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets is a declaration that he has come to fulfill the covenants of God with God's people, to give us what we ultimately need to be able to keep up our end of the bargain. He stands in our place and he brings us along with him in righteousness so that we can say, yes, we are living into our covenant with God. He gives us the means of grace to be sanctified and to become holy as he is holy, so that we can truly be saying that we are working towards being like God wants us to be. Jesus says he's come to fulfill the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets don't go away because Jesus has come. Instead, we are now incorporated into the story with Israel and are able to live out our side of the covenants. We are led by a righteous and faithful Messiah, that is, an anointed one of God, in living lives of righteousness set apart, but in the midst of the world that needs our witness to God's grace and justice and needs to know what it actually means to be blessed. Did you hear all that? We're led by a Messiah, we're set apart, and we're blessed to be a blessing. We're supposed to fulfill all these covenants because Jesus has made it possible for us to do so. And not only has he made it possible for us to fulfill these covenants, he's added on the covenant that Jeremiah tells us is coming, where we hear that God's law will be written on our hearts. That new covenant of water and the Spirit, that new covenant made in Jesus' body and blood, the new covenant that pours out grace and love and mercy on you and on me. So Jesus has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. He tells us that explicitly. I have come. And so if we take Jesus seriously about why he has come, that he's come to fulfill those covenants of God and to bring us along in being able to fulfill them with him. If we take Jesus seriously in this, then we have become salt and light to the world, Jesus tells us. We've become salt and light to the world. And Jesus tells us, you are the salt of the earth. Salt flavors, it preserves, and it elicits thirst. We're supposed to be adding flavor to this thing called life. The flavor of God. We're supposed to be adding God's grace into the world. We're supposed to be seasoning the world with God's grace and God's love and God's mercy in everything that we do. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be preserving some things. Namely, life and our souls, God's grace. We're supposed to be making a way for people not to perish. To show them that there is a way for them not to perish in sin and death. We are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. And salt elicits thirst. I heard a guy named Ramal Toon one time speak. He's a Christian speaker. He works a lot with youth. But he said this thing. He said, you know, we got this saying that says you can't lead a horse to water. Or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? I'm going to get this right. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. And he said, but you know, his grandfather who had worked on a farm, who had been a farmer, he said, that's not really true. You can lead a horse to water, and you can put salt in the oats, and that horse will drink. We're salt of the earth. If we're seasoning the world... If we're flavoring the world with what God has to give us, if we're flavoring the world, if we're salt in the oats for the world, then when the people are presented with the waters of life, with the living waters of God, they'll want to drink. We are the salt of the earth. But Jesus goes on and he says, but if it loses its saltiness, what's it good for? There's an edge. I told you that this is a dangerous sermon that Jesus has preached. We should have known that going in, but we call it the Sermon on the Mount, and that makes us feel better about it. Jesus says, if it's lost its taste, what's it good for? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. If you got salt that doesn't do what it's supposed to do, if you got salt that doesn't add flavor, if you got salt that doesn't preserve, if you got salt that doesn't make anybody thirsty, why keep it in the pantry? Remember, he said, you are the salt of the earth. How salty are you? Jesus goes on and he says, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. If we're taking Jesus seriously about why he has come, if we believe that he has come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them, to help us fulfill the covenants that we and our ancestors have made before God, if we believe that Jesus has come to do these things, if we believe that Jesus has come in order to make us able to stand in our place so that we can be a blessing to the nations because of the ways we've been blessed, so that we can be set apart in the midst of a broken and hurting world, so that we can let them know about God's grace and God's mercy and God's love as it all of this chaos happens around us, if we believe that Jesus is the Messiah who has come to lead us in faithfulness and righteousness, if we believe these things and that we are able to keep up our end of the covenant to follow God, to follow our Messiah, to keep up the prescriptions, the commandments that Jesus has left us, and to follow God no matter where God calls us, if we believe these things, that we are able to do it, then we are the light of the world. We reveal that which is hidden in darkness, and we show people a better way. We don't let them stay where they are. And we certainly don't take a bushel basket and cover up the light because we're just more comfortable in the dark. We don't really like all that we see once the light's lit. Cobwebs in the corner, stuff on the floor, things happening around us. It was easier in the dark. Nobody does that, Jesus says. And yet, if nobody does it, he wouldn't be telling us nobody does it. We are the light of the world, and we can't just bury our head in the sand and say, well, we're just as good as we're going to be. We need to hide a little bit. We don't need to deal with all the stuff in us that isn't how God would have it to be. Here's the thing. As we were talking about in the children's sermon, having light in the house in Jesus' day took work. If we put our lamp, not our lamp that's plugged into the wall, mind you, our lamp that's being fed with oil or our lamp that's a candle under a bushel basket where we can't see the light anymore, and we leave it there long enough, do you know what happens to the light when we want to take the bushel basket off? It's out. It's out. It's run out of steam. It's run out of fuel. It's run out of what it needs to stay lit. It's not giving off light anymore. We covered it up, and we thought to ourselves, we're just going to hide this for a while because we want to keep things how they are in the dark. And we'll take this off when we're ready to really dig into it, or when we feel like things are going our way again, we'll take this off so we can look around and see if anything magically changed without us having to do anything. But it hadn't. And instead, we take it off, and all of a sudden, we're like, man, that light went out. And we're surprised. We are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world because we take Jesus seriously about why he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets, because all of this, these metaphors Jesus gives us, why he has come, it all points towards the fact that we exist as the church. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are Christians. We have this mission that is ultimately for others. It's not about us. Salt isn't salty for its own sake. Light doesn't shine for its own sake. We are salt and light for the earth and for the world. We exist for others so that they will know God's grace and God's love and God's mercy through us. And we live a life that is fully consistent with all of the scriptures, Old and New Testament, fulfilling the covenants of God as Jesus has enabled us to be able to fulfill them, to hold up our end of the bargain. We are salt and light, not for ourselves, to put under a bushel basket, to let the saltiness go out of it, to let the light burn all the way down. We don't just exist for ourselves, covered up and hid so that we can just be how we want to be and claim the name of Christ. We exist for the world. We live our life of faith out in front of people, and we make sure that it measures up to the standard that God has set, to be salt and light in everything that we do. So if we're going to be salt and light, if we're going to take Jesus seriously about why he has come, then we have to move past wanting to hide our light and to hold on to our salt. We just want to let the salt sit in a tub somewhere. We're not seasoning anything with it. We don't exist just to exist. We exist for the world. We're not just trying to maintain what we're doing here. We're trying to be in mission with the world. We're trying to tell people. We're trying to know Jesus. Why? So we can make him known to others. Kitty reminded us. We exist for others as Grace United Methodist Church, as disciples of Jesus Christ. We exist for the world to communicate God's grace and God's light and God's salt. So we got to let go of that which holds us and binds us and wants to keep us in the dark and make us bland and flavorless. This is the most dangerous, transformative sermon that has ever been preached. Not the one I just preached to you, the one we read. All I'm doing is trying to explain what I see in it. Jesus has something for us here. He wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing, but remember, he redefined blessed last week. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus redefined what it means to be blessed, but he wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing. He wants us to be set apart, to show his grace to a broken and sinful world, a world that is trapped, until we help to season them. He wants us to follow him as the Messiah. Jesus isn't done with us. We got more of the Sermon on the Mount coming next week. I'm just going to warn you right now. How about that? Jesus isn't done with us. This sermon is not done. Jesus' sermon is not done. It's never done. He is always preaching it to us. Always hoping we'll be more salty, saltier, and more light in the world. Would you go to God in prayer with me this day? Heavenly Almighty God, you keep working on us. You keep preaching to us. You keep teaching us what you would have us to know. It's a lesson that is as old as you are. And yet we still need to hear it again. Reveal your message to us. Reveal your grace. Reveal your Holy Spirit that we might be made ready to follow you completely and totally, to give over our lives to you, to make sure that we are salty, to make sure that we are light. We ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, the one who came not to abolish Scripture, but to fulfill all Scripture. Amen. Would you stand and join with me as we profess our faith using the Apostles' Creed? It's number 881 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now.
Please be seated. This time we have the opportunity to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us through our tithes and offerings as we join together in God's mission and ministry in this world by giving back, by using what God has given to be a part of God's mission. Holy God of mercy, redemption, and grace, this morning we bring our gifts and pray that you will dedicate them to your work of love and reconnection with all your children. These gifts seem small when balanced against what Christ has given us and what you continue to give us through the Holy Spirit. In our giving, may we grow in gratitude, trust, and faithfulness. In the name of Christ, who gave all for us, we pray. Amen.
Please join with me in singing hymn number 585. We will, instead of singing it to the tune that's in the hymnal, we'll sing it to the more familiar tune that we most of us know.
Our mission at Grace is
to know Jesus and to make him known to others.
Let your light shine before others, that all might see your good works and know the Father who is in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.